Hello everyone, so I have another episode to discuss more of what I'm called to do in life, but this time, this episode will be done completely off the top of my head, no reading or no writing anything. I just feel like doing that kind of episode right now, so let's do it. I've come to understand that I am here partly because there are people who have been made to feel like that because they are physically incarcerated, that they are worthy of being psychologically incarcerated. So they're made to equate physical incarceration with psychological incarceration, with emotional incarceration. To be emotionally incarcerated, to be spiritually incarcerated, to be of spiritual incarceration, academic incarceration, to be academically incarcerated, to be intellectually incarcerated, to have intellectual incarceration. Is heinous in and of itself. I definitely have a heart for the prison world. And I have to work with two movements within prison. One is the prison reform movement, and the other is the prison abolition movement. Which means that I have to make sure that there are humane conditions within prisons. That means everything has to be sanitary. Everybody has to have their health care. Everyone has to have livable conditions that are habitable. When it comes to prison, meaning the cells and the stalls and the bathrooms and the toiletries and the personal grooming and the hygiene and the meals all have to be excellent according to human rights standards, which means I have to fight the rape culture in prisons. I have to make sure that conjugal visits are happening to inmates, married and unmarried, and whoever they're with is clearly their life partner. And we cannot allow sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics to get in the way of that. It makes me have to make sure that the entire prisons, they don't smell, there's no unremovable stains, and the running water is healthy to bathe in, and the water that inmates drink is free of lead, free of tap, free of poison, and that they get their fruits and vegetables and lean meats and healthy moderation of snacks, junk food, even fast food. Hey, I also have to spend time with inmates, meaning that I have to talk to them one-on-one and as groups. And some of the stories that we talk about, most of them will be rough to listen to, rough to process, rough to hold a conversation. But it'll be a therapeutic dialogue between us, because it would be solution-based and resolution-based as well. Because I never thought that I would have a calling to prisons. Growing up, I was doing everything I can not to go to prison. The closest I ever got to prison was a psych ward 5 years ago. And I feel like the psych ward experience, in a sense, prepared me more for my prison call. And so many people would go, well, Antonio, do you think you have a psych ward call too? And I say, yes. 5 years ago, I would have said, hell the fuck no. Now I'm saying, hell the fuck yes. Because my psych ward call is pretty much is similar to my prison call. I have to, but let me finish out the prison one, and then I'll get to the psych ward one. So in prisons, I have to go to women's prisons and men prisons, because both prison communities will be deeply heart touched by my autism success story, my black success story, my queer success story, and my abuse survivor success story. And it would make them go, you know what? Maybe the Antonios of the world, maybe an Antonio can definitely help me with good behavior for all the right reasons. Can help to, you know, maybe I can get my loved ones and total strangers from outside of prison not to come here, not to end up here. Because now I've had the understandings I wish I'd have had back then. If I would have known that you can be a positive autistic person, a positive black person, a positive queer person, a positive person who survived abuse, maybe more of us won't end up here. So we'll start making, so I have to be a criminal justice reform person. I'm called to that because it will make advocates inside and outside of jails and psych wards to go, you know what? How do we keep people from autism from coming here? How do we keep people from who are black from coming here? How do we keep people who are queer from coming here? How do we keep people who are abuse survivors from coming here? Coming here means being inmates themselves. So there would be a consensus of, okay, there's a relationship between special education and unmet special needs, which could cause you to come to prison. There's a relationship between blackness and unmet racial justice needs can cause you to come to prison. There's a relationship between being LGBTQI plus and unmet gender and sexual diversity needs. which could cause you to come to prison. And lastly, there is a correlation between, well, if you're an abuse survivor and you're robbed of legal justice and community justice because everything is swept under the rug, there's silence and cover-ups, that can cause you to come to prison. So what I've been called to do is to, I've been called to do prison transformation and reform. So I think the women's prisons will have me work with them more than the men's prisons, because women have more, against their will, life's injustices against them. So they're going to be women like, well, we're going to really need Antonio's help, because a lot of us are undiagnosed. A lot of us don't know why we're struggling internally and externally. A lot of us feel like he can help us to actually be women, because we've been made to feel like fractured little girls all our lives. And of course the men would be like, he can help us be men, because we've been fractured little boys all our lives. We don't know what's going on with us. We don't know why we're struggling internally, externally. And a lot of us men are undiagnosed. So I think when it comes to myself and the prison system, I could see myself in prisons every week. Every week they're going to be like, Antonio, you have to come in. Antonio, when you're not here, they can get rowdy, but when you're here, they cool out. Sometimes they may have to come in more than a week. Other times, well, they was good for the week. And they've been behaving better ever since you've been coming here every week. So I could see myself doing prison tours every year. I'm not trying to be a rock star in prison, but I will be for all the right reasons. I'll be a human rights rock star. Usually that's not what we intend. Now, people in the human rights world, we don't intend to be rock stars in the human rights movement. We just love people, and people make us rock stars for all the right reasons. You know, they don't have any ulterior motives to us, because we don't have any ulterior motives towards them. There's no personal gain on either side, you know. So I feel like it is important for me to let you all know that being within this world of prisons, I could see myself even instituting other prison programs that have not been considered or have, but need more push and need more pull, and I can be that push and pull for them. I was always afraid of prison, one, because of the crime world I was forced to grow up in, and two, when you are a person who was forced to live with your mother's brother, and you always hear stories about him being in and out of prison himself, that made me go, I will never, ever go to prison for any other reason. But then as I got older and learned my human rights calling, that I did my credible research, as the term is commonly called, and I said, oh my, so I have to be in actual prisons. And I said to myself, but I've never been arrested. I've never served time in anybody's prison for anything. But then I said, you can be in prison without being an inmate. And then, to be honest with you, I felt like afraid to go to prison because of the stories I've read about the late Martin Luther King Jr. And I said to myself, I understand human rights security, but at the same time, prison, the way it happened to him, what if they're not merciful towards me? And then studying Dr. Bishop William Barber, who has had similar arrest records of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., pastor, you know, they both were pastors. I said to myself that democracy is more important than fear-based reasons for not wanting to go to prison. I said, if that means I get arrested sometimes, not for civil disobedience, I said that's okay. That doesn't make me a stereotype. If I get arrested for doing the right thing in life, I said that's good. That's good trouble, according to our ancestors, as well as the late congressional member John Lewis. And I said, well, I know I'll be well protected everywhere I go, even in prison. Because when you stand for something, even inmates can't disrespect you. Even inmates go, wow, they locked you up for protesting unjust laws that they legislated. It'll make inmates go, you know what? Whatever extra snacks we got, extra food we got, we're going to give it to you. Whatever money we can get from loved ones, we'll make sure you get it. Because we respect cats like you. That's prison talk, by the way, when they say cats. We respect cats like you. Because you're not in jail because of rape. You're not in jail because of domestic violence. You're not in jail for incest. You're not in jail for pedophilia. You're not in jail for necrophilia. You're not in jail for statutory rape. You're not in jail for being a serial killer. You're in jail because you are legally combating the wicked powers that be. So even in jail, they'll be like, you know what? We're going to be his family in prison. Nobody's going to rape him in here. Nobody's going to call him names in here. Nobody's going to fuck with him in here. If you fuck with him, then we're going to fuck with you. And you're going to wish what we did to you never happened. And you're going to, more importantly, regret what you tried to do to Antonio. And Antonio can drop the soap and nobody is going to assault him. That's how I'll be treated in prison. They'll be washing my clothes, drying my clothes, making sure that when I play basketball or any sport with them, you ain't gonna try to cheat him. You're not gonna guard him too hard. You're gonna give him some personal space when we play. When we play music, the music better not offend him. If he not smiling, there's gonna be a riot up in here. We got to keep him smiling all the time. There's no reason to have him frowning or not smiling up in here. That's how I'd be treated in prison. Because of today's climate, there's a strong chance I won't ever go to prison, but I may be called to go to unjust places where I may have some Nelson Mandela experiences. I'm not saying I'll be in prison as long as him, and no diss to him. What I'm saying is that that could happen to me. When you fight for human rights, there are people who have dictatorial regimes in their hearts, and they may have you incarcerated. And that's a scary possibility, because I said I never wanted to be autistic in jail. I never wanted to be black in jail. I never wanted to be queer in jail. I never wanted to be abuse survivor in jail. But I said, but as a human rights champion, you cannot allow unjust laws, unjust policies to take effect. So for the most part, I don't think I'll ever go to jail. But at the same time, I said that possibility always be there, because the human rights calling is not completely safe. And it's not for the faint at heart. That's for sure. So when I look at my life now, and I think about how it could be, I said to myself, I even get to melt the hearts of the hard-hearted. Because there'll be enough people in each government that'll go, I like him. I want to go the direction he want to go in, because that's a solid human being right there. Now, of course, I'll have security and physical protection for me being who I am. I feel like I'm gonna definitely do everything wise. And many people have told me, you know, Antonio, there may be some places you can't travel to. And I said, I already know that, because some places are so hard-hearted that even attending would be a concern. So what I can tell you is this, though. It's possible that I may even be called to those places that are considered unsafe, unhealthy, unwholesome. Uninviting, uncaring, unwelcoming, unthinking, unlearning. in unconcerned places. I'm not reckless with my physical life. I'm not reckless with my physical health. At the same time, I may have to be in places that are of dictatorships, of authoritarianism, of totalitarianism. And of dictatorial regimes, of state religions, of state atheism. Those are scary possibilities. But I said, you'll be well safeguarded and well secured while doing all the above, because I've learned that sometimes, in the name of wisdom, you have to go to uncomfortable places. Not out of recklessness, not out of folly, not out of mindlessness, not out of heartlessness, not out of soullessness, not out of laziness. Not out of impulsivity, not out of compulsivity, not out of extremism, not out of addiction, and not out of carelessness. But the human rights call means that in order for some places to have human rights protections, we have to go to places that lack human rights protections and have a legal outcry against them on why it's wrong to not have human rights protections that are legal for people. And then I've learned that plus, I have to really help the prisoners not see themselves as prisoners, not to have the identification of the location, but I would have to help them manage family separation, friend separation, colleague separation, schoolmate separation, all kinds of human relationship separation and human separation going on. So in prison, I could see myself doing workshops and seminars and even public speaking in prisons. Wow. I'm just blown away at, I'm going to be an extraordinarily, immeasurably busy person because I have the rarest of the rare breed type of callings in life. The classification of my calling, the categorization of my calling too. Ooh. It's just truly warms my heart to know that I can be a miracle, a blessing, a sign, a wonder, and breakthrough in prison to those in prison. When I think about So I've also noticed that within the world of prisons, you do have apps that can help people to feel like that they are there to help you to have more food or to preserve more money for your bank account. And I would have to assist and make sure these apps are working fairly. I would have to help make sure that the bank account of the prisoners work well and that nobody is scamming them. I would have to make sure that people in prisons are able to get adequate protection in prison, because inmates, when you're dealing with other people, need to be safe. So I would have to work with them on how to stop the fighting. So the skills I would help them out was I would be teaching them vocational skills, recognizing, understanding, labeling, and expressing emotions, the RULER concept, acronym, the 5 key emotion skills. I would have to teach them communication skills, lateral thinking skills, creative thinking skills, critical thinking skills, lateral thinking skills, financial literacy, substance abuse prevention. I had to teach them impermanence, kindness, gelatology, emotional literacy, emotional self-regulation, avoiding emotional dysregulation, trauma triggers, avoiding survivor guilt, avoiding repressed and suppressed memories. I have to help them to avoid hypervigilance. I would have to teach them content ratings in television and movies so they won't be trauma triggered. I would have to teach them trauma reminders, trauma stressors, I'll have to teach them trauma stimulants. I'll have to teach them writing skills, communication skills. I'll have to teach them sewing, and I'll have to teach them emotional management and emotional coping and healthy coping mechanism skills. I'll have to teach them people skills and soft skills, study skills. That stuff I'll have to teach them. Just life skills in general. And another thing that I'll have to help them with is securing LGBTQ+ rights in prison. Because there's a lot of straight people who, because they have sexual needs, it's called gay for stay. It's the non-financial version of gay for pay. It's called gay for stay. It's like, look, I don't have a woman around and I'm a man, so I have to go to another man to get my sexual needs met. And I don't have another man to go, I don't have a man with me, so I gotta go with this woman. So those things happen. So you pretty much You know, they may do movie TV screenings. Some of them may be based upon my life and just me in it. And I would have to help the prisoners out. I mean, I would be talking to them in their cells. And, you know, I would sometimes have to visit prisoners and talk to them on their phones while we're talking on a recorded line. And I would have to eat with them, eat meals with them, you know, for real. Because I'm gonna just go off the top of my head. I would eat meals with them so they can experience compassionate love, compassionate joy, compassionate peace, compassionate patience, compassionate kindness, compassionate faithfulness, compassionate understanding, compassionate goodness, compassionate gentleness, compassionate generosity, compassionate charity, compassionate modesty, compassionate self-control, compassionate self-discipline. So me eating meals with people will be huge. It will be something I'll be doing all the time with people. And then I've noticed other parts of my calling I want to talk about. Let's talk about it. Because I don't feel like reading anything. I'm just going off the top of my head for this episode. When it comes to the psych ward experience, I would have to let them know that, yes, I've been in a psych ward, and I can explain to them how, what life is like, and what it was like for me that weekend. When I feel like being in a ward, I could also help people to understand that they shouldn't stigmatize themselves in any kind of way. Lately, I've been more and more sensitized to when they say psychological disability, psychological disorder. I start to cringe in my soul because the more I heal, the more I become sensitized to words and word choices and the etymology and meanings and definitions and connotations and denotations of words. So I would basically, in psych wards, I would help people to recognize that there's no shame in talking to ceilings, talking to walls. And I mean that respectfully because, hey, sometimes talking to walls, you feel like it's better than talking to people, because a wall will never insult you, but some people will. And I would also have to, when it comes to the psych ward experience, I would also tell them that I was teaching men how to be a gentleman here. I was teaching women how to be ladies here. You know, when I was in the psych ward experience I had 5 years ago. And then what I learned was that being in a ward, I would tell them, the showers have to be improved. Because I could tell them, being in a ward, sometimes you have a hair circle around you and you have to jump out just so you won't get infected or have diseases. So in psych wards, just like prisons, pretty much everything I have to do in prison, I'll do in wards. But I'll add this, though. I would have to fight for sexual justice, reproductive justice, environmental justice, racial justice, social justice, civil political justice, human justice, equal justice, cultural justice in wards, just like I have to do in prison. So everything I do in wards will be exactly what I do in prison. Everything I do in prison will be in wards, same thing. So there's no difference at all. I would have to have overnight stay in both, because some prisoners and some ward people will be like, well, don't leave us. we want to spend more time with you. So I'd have to find a safe, secluded area where I could be safe and then interact with them. And I would have to interact with people in solitary confinement, those who are away from everybody else in the ward too. So yeah, I have a lot on my plate to do because I have a lot of responsibilities. I'm not ashamed of the responsibilities I have in life. I just think it's wonderful that basically I get to fight for the rights of prisoners. You know, I have to reduce capital punishment, reduce the corporal punishment, reduce the amount of people who are spending life in prison with the possibility of parole. I would have to join forces with victims and victims' families and the offenders' families to come up with peace treaties, to come up with solutions between the two families. Another thing I would have to do is I'll have to really, really show that from my experience, it would be so much of me playing games, you know, like card games, those kind of things. With when it comes to the psych ward and the prison, we watch TV together, like uplifting content, and times where we check each other's moods to make sure we're okay. Now, this is an aspect of prison and psych wards that have to be talked about. So when you're an extraordinary person, there's going to be plenty of people in men's prisons and women's prisons that are going to find me attractive. So I would have to be very professional so there wouldn't be any conflicts of interest. Will it be easy? No, because I gotta admit, some people in prison are biologically arousing. Just because they're in jail, that doesn't mean they don't look good. Hey. Biology doesn't change just because you're around incarcerated humans. It's just real. Will it be easy to stay professional? No. Will I do my best? Yes. I say do my best because when you attract somebody, but you got to keep it professional. Even outside of prison is hard. But in prison is harder because you don't want to have a criminal record. And I'm talking about consensually speaking. I'm never talking about non-consensually speaking. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about a consensual context. Because some people in prison are virtuous people. So there's the number one attraction for me. So it's like, man, I'm going to do the best I can to be professional and not expect perfection out of myself on it, because, oh my God, being human, woo-wee, it's fun, but sometimes maintaining the boundaries, it's an intricate complexity. Let's just leave it at that. So it's like for me, just thinking about, now let's get to the prison abolition part, because I already got the reform part. Prison abolition, people like, hey, you got to mention us in that episode. Okay, I will right now. I've always struggled with the concept of prison. Because bars and cells, and you see people hold it, and then you see the toilets, and then you see the bunk beds. And then the fact that when you use the bathroom, everybody can see you because there's no curtains. So imagine if you release your human waste and wipe after yourself, clean after yourself. You're being watched. And it's like, well, you know, if we give them curtains and stuff, they might break out of jail. They might be committing a crime and we don't know. It's a rough concept. So in prison abolitionist movement, people might come to me and say, Antonio, I really think you can be helpful to our movement. I would be like, well, I don't have a problem with the concept of prison abolition, but how do we keep dangerous people away from the rest of society? Because they can't coexist, because you're going to get a lot of murders that way. A lot of rapes, a lot of robberies, a lot of beatings, a lot of hate crimes, a lot of hate speech, a lot of hate groups. So I'd be like, can you give me an alternative that makes sense? And if you can, I can fully support your concept. But then I would have to talk to those who are of the prison reform. Like, no, we need prisons, because if they did not want to be caged up like animals, they should not have been animalistic to the adults and children out here. They should have not been violently animalistic and murderously animalistic, being a bunch of fearsome animals to the kids and grown-ups out here. So I can understand that mentality and go, I don't judge it harshly. So I would have to work with both communities to come up with healthy consensus on how do we protect danger? How can we protect the rest of society from dangerous people, and at the same time not be accused credibly of not ever wanting prisoners to be restored as human beings? From a rehabilitation perspective. Those are excellent points. And I feel like when it comes to psych wards, I've struggled with the concept, especially living in one for a weekend where, for example, I've struggled with the concept of people are made to feel like they're, in the words of Penn Jillette, bug nutty, batshit crazy. And I don't say that comedically, I say that painfully, because when you feel like you have to be separated from the rest of society, especially if you're homeless and have a nervous breakdown, and the breakdown happens because of the breaking up of your human rights. So it's like, I get why some people say psych ward shouldn't exist, because you're exacerbating the mental illnesses and you're stigmatizing human brains. While some will go, well, we need psych wards because they got to be taken care of, but just away from society. So I have to work with the psych ward abolition movement and the psych ward reform movement to come up with a healthy consensus. I'm not saying people please everybody. I'm just saying come up with solutions that we all can peacefully live with. We can all come up with resolutions that we all can peacefully live with. So that's what I'm feeling. So when I think about how it will be for me in such a world, all I can say is that I'll be well protected in psych wards. Like I said, I'll be in prisons. So I would also be a psych ward chaplain because I would be providing pastoral care, spiritual counseling, and helping people leave lawfully, appropriately meeting their religious and secular needs within psychiatric institutions too.